Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Since 1993, we've given 10% of our profits to efforts that help protect and restore the earth, from supporting organic farmers to funding glacier research education. Learn more at stonyfield.com. We're proud to support living on earth and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
America stretches from sea to shining sea and then some. By one count, a nation of 25,000 villages, towns, and cities. Storied places all.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man.
Whoa! America's almost too big for a mere map. There's a lot of territory and history to chart, but cartographer Dave Imus tried his hand and succeeded fabulously. His map, The Essential Geography of the United States of America, won Best in Show from the Cartography and Geographic Information Society. In a conversation that was literally all over the map, Dave Imus mentioned that it took him 2 years and 6,000 hours to design his award winner.
Before I started making this map, I surveyed all the other U.S. maps that have been on our walls forever. And my conclusion was that it was no wonder that Americans are geographically disinterested, because on these maps, there was really very little geography. And so I thought I could do a better job.
I love maps. You obviously love maps.
Well, I do.
But, you know, every map basically tells a story or stories. What was the story behind your map?
Just trying to capture the basic character of the United States, a map that reflected what a fascinating land this is that we all share, you know, from the Florida Keys to Point Barrow and Honolulu to Portland, Maine. There is so much going on in this country that had never been expressed cartographically. And, you know, maps being the basic tool of geographic understanding, we needed a map like this so we could understand all the stuff that was going on.
Well, I'm going to unfurl your map here. It's big.
We have a big country, you know, and if you don't see it large, you don't get an appreciation for the sweep of it all.
Okay, I'm going to take my finger, and I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm going to go. Okay?
Okay.
I landed on Smackover, Arkansas. It's near a place called Hope.
Now you're expecting me to know a whole bunch about it? I know where Hope is.
Well, now you know where Smackover is. It's right near it.
You know, Bruce, I don't recall exactly why I put Smackover on the map. I wish I could tell you specifically, but, you know, there's 10,000 places identified on this map, so I don't remember everything.
Well, a lot about a map is relationships and also serendipity. If you just move over your map, just like a half inch from Smackover, is the Jerome internment camp. And right above that is the Rower internment camp.
Right. You know, I wanted to have cultural representations for everybody in this incredibly diverse country we have. And so I have 10 or 11 internment camps that were unfortunately occupied by thousands of Japanese Americans in World War II. And to a lot of people, these are very important landmarks. And so I researched them and I put them on my map.
Yeah, you've got Rosa Parks Library in Montgomery. In Birmingham, you got the 16th Street Baptist Church.
And in Selma, I have the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And, you know, this really forms a civil rights triangle in Alabama. And then you can see how this triangle relates to Atlanta, where Martin Luther King came from. And he comes down to Montgomery and talks to Rosa Parks about what are we going to do. And they decide she's not going to give up her seat on the bus. And so you can just see where all this stuff happened. And then you're not going to forget that it did happen. You know, I really gained a greater appreciation for the civil rights movement when I made this map, just by seeing the spatial relationships of all this stuff.
Yeah, it's like connecting the dots.
Exactly. I mean, geography is this tapestry of elements of rivers and roads and landmarks, cities, forests, mountains, valleys, lakes, on and on and on. And, you know, just taken individually, well, so what? It's just data. But you combine all these things and you've created information. You know, information is not information until it is in formation.
Yours is the first map, actually, that I've seen that has the Deepwater Horizon wreckage.
Well, by virtue of the fact that this is the only map of the United States that's been made since the Deepwater Horizon sank in the Gulf of Mexico. But I thought that was apropos. That was one of the worst oil rig disasters ever. And so it's going to become an iconic place, I think.
Now, your map is old school. It's paper and it's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you do something online? I mean, then you could put everywheresville, right?
Well, that's not the point. You know, the point is to flesh out the broad strokes of our country and show how it all works together, which our country sorely needs. You know, Daniel Edelson, the fellow who's the vice president of education at National Geographic, said that Americans know next to nothing about geography, and he's right. And that's very unfortunate for a lot of reasons, because a geographically illiterate society makes, you know, uninformed political and economic and environmental decisions. And that's reason enough to want to foster geographic literacy. But to me, as an artist, my main motivation is that noticing and appreciating our surroundings enriches our lives, just like noticing and appreciating music or other types of visual art.
I do notice that you can actually see the Mississippi River bisecting the country. And you know, that's the border for all these states: Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And you can actually see that boundary being the geography, the political boundary.
It's really the first United States map that's had widespread distribution that you can actually see the Ohio River, which is a gigantic river where at its confluence with the Mississippi is actually bigger than the Mississippi, is my understanding. But you just can't even hardly find it on most U.S. maps, let alone just see that it forms the boundary of all these states.
Now, I'm looking at Alaska, and Dave, I got to tell you, I found a typo.
No way. And you're telling the whole world about it?
Well,
thanks, man. Okay, yeah, where is it?
Bering Land Bridge. It says NP capital R, National Preserve NPR. If I look at your key, it's NP small r.
Oh. Well, I guess you caught me. Well, you know, tens of thousands of eyes have seen this map now, so people have pointed out a few typos, and you know, I'm going to correct those in the near future, but, you know, most people that have the map will never find them.
We should tell listeners that you're in Eugene, Oregon at a studio, and you've got your map there, right?
Yeah, just put it on the floor.
Yeah, it's big.
It now.
All right, well, I've got mine here.
Okay.
I want to turn your map over. You know, I didn't realize this until I was unrolling it just now, that you've got even more information on the other side.
Everything on the map is indexed on the backside, and it's a great big sheet of paper. And it's sort of fun to read, too. You know, reading the list of landmarks in the United States.
I was just going to say.
You know, it's fun because you've heard of all these places all your life, and most of them you sort of know where they are, but few of them you actually know exactly where they are. But it's fun just to read down this list of American landmarks and realize what a rich cultural country we live in.
Well, I've never heard of Poverty Point National Monument or, you know, the Smith River National Recreation Area.
Oh, you haven't?
No. Or Voyageurs National Park. That's a new one.
You know, Voyageurs is in Minnesota, and I'll guarantee you everybody in Minnesota's heard of it. And Smith River National Recreation Area in Northern California, you know, people in that part of California certainly have heard of it. So, you know, that's part of the criteria of, you know, I hadn't really heard of the Roebling Bridge in Cincinnati either, but it's an incredibly important landmark there, so it's on the map. This map has the places that haven't been put on maps before, like the Alamo and the Golden Gate Bridge, the San Andreas Fault, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, Iditarod Trail. And I'm just pulling these off the top of my head. You just read down this list, and you see all these things, and you go, wow, what a country.
What's your next adventure? Are you going to make another map? First America, now the world?
Well, you know, I'm going the other direction with my interest. I get requests all the time, hey, when are you going to do a world map? And that'd be pretty fascinating. But, you know, there's already a lot of really decent world maps made by American cartographers and European cartographers. And My interest is to form a nonprofit organization staffed by the leading cartographers in the United States for the purpose of making an essential geography map of each state to be distributed free of charge to every social studies teacher in the United States. Honestly, I think if that happened, if we had these geographically expressive maps out there, that might be the catalyst to create interest in geography that would eventually lead to it being taught officially in our schools again. I think that would eventually happen someday. And right now I've got all the information I'd need to make geography maps of Oregon and Alaska because I've already made maps of those places. I just have to redesign them. But I've really got this strong hankering for some reason to make the essential geography of Wyoming. It's just it's a place that most Americans knows there and they know Yellowstone's there, but that we don't really know that much about it. And it's an incredibly beautiful mountainous state. But I would like that one to be first.
Copper comes from Arizona. Peaches come from Georgia. And lobsters come from Maine.
Well, Dave, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Bruce, I love talking to you.
Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky. Ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue.
Who knew? Cartographer Dave Imus. His map is the essential geography of the United States of America. Well, minnows come from Minnesota, pencils from Pennsylvania, and poems from Omaha. As America commemorates National Poetry Month, we leave you with this.
What do you want me to do?
Ready?
Just read this.
I'll direct this. Can I?
Read poems. Should I not pause?
Yeah. This poem?
I hear America singing by Walt Whitman.
Okay, perfect.
By Walt Whitman.
I hear America singing.
I hear America sing the varied carols I hear.
I hear those of mechanics, each one singing his as it should be, blithe and strong.
The carpenter singing his as he measures his plank or beam. The mason singing his as he makes ready for work.
He makes ready for work or leaves off work.
The boatman singing what belongs to him in his boat. The deckhand singing on the steamboat.
On the steamboat deck.
The shoemaker singing
as he sits on his bench.
The hatter singing as he
stands. The woodcutter's song. The plowboy's on his way in the morning, or at noon intermission, or at sundown.
The delicious singing of the mother,
or of the young wife
at work, or of the girls sewing or washing.
Each singing
belongs to him or her, and to no one else.
The day, what belongs to the day. At night, the party of young fellows, robust, friendly, singing with open mouth their strong, melodious songs.
Singing with mouths open their strong, melodious songs.
I Hear America Singing by Walt Whitman, an audio collage produced by Ike Sriskandarajan for the Poetry Foundation's Poetry Off the Shelf series. On the next Living on Earth, a special investigation, the safety of spraying herbicides on Oregon forest.
We believe that if it's done responsibly and legally, that it does not represent an unreasonable harm.
Spraying herbicides and the public's health in rural Oregon. That's next time on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, and Helen Palmer, with help from Megan Miner, Gabriella Romano, and Sammy Souza. Our interns are Mary Bates and Sophie Golden. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lurish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org, and don't forget our Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. And you can follow us on Twitter at Living on Earth. That's just one word. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield invites you to just eat organic for a day. Details at justeatorganic.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. the Go Forward Fund, and Pax World Mutual and Exchange Traded Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision making. On the web at paxworld.com. Pax World for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.